When the MCs came, they bought the name. They took my phone, some at the slow cocaine.
Strange times.
Everybody got to get high. Oh, they get right, they get nice, they get by.
Oh,
they get open, get ready, get prime.
The national pastime is victimless crime.
You want your thrill and I want mine. As long as we can get it, we ain't got to say why. I don't need to cry.
You ain't got to lie.
We ain't got to speak when it's written in the eyes. Whenever she was vibing, the sparkle in the palms. Yeah, the young girl smiling, a hustle is charm.
All right, so welcome back. This is another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. This is my Evening with Flan Road to Recovery series. Thank you for coming back, or thank you for joining us for the first time, whatever your situation is. Just a quick recap. This series is pretty much me discussing my journey of recovery from alcoholism, as well as the hopeful journey of recovering my family. As a result of my issues with alcohol, my wife has decided to leave the house, and I take my 2-year-old daughter with her. So yeah, so that's really been the fire underneath me to start down this road, and I just wanted to chronicle it on the show in hopes that, you know, it may help somebody else. It's definitely been a big help for me, so I appreciate you guys listening. All right, starting off, I guess the question on my mind is, how many jokes can I make about beating my wife before it gets uncomfortable? None? I agree, that's weird. But I did beat up on my wife in fantasy football last week, and I am now in the championship game in 3 of my 5 leagues and playing to get into the championship game in 1 of the 5. So I'm having quite the fantasy season. I'm pretty much a legend. I'm sort of a big deal, if you didn't know. So, yeah, invite me to all your leagues next year. I'm trying to dominate. But what else has been going on with me? It's the holiday season. And as you can imagine, it's probably a rough time for anyone that's trying to stay away from what's been their coping mechanism for quite some time. So it's been a trying couple of days. The stress of work, stress of holiday shopping, the stress of, you know, really not having my family in the house during this time. It's been kind of rough, but I'm going to my meetings. I'm going to my outpatient treatment program, and all of those things have just been an amazing help in keeping me, I guess, sane and focused. So I'm focused. I feel pretty good. I had some trying situations this week, but you know, I made it through, and I made it through it, you know, sort of with the help of some of the things I'm learning in treatment. I do have my daughter in the house right now. It's Friday. I was able to work from home. Shout out to my job. Was able to work from home. Got my daughter here with me. She's taking a nap. So I thought I'd take this time to try to get some work done. I feel like, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, we're going to spend the holiday together. So Christmas will be a family affair. My wife has been over here. There's a pot roast in the refrigerator right now, which I think is what we're going to have for Christmas dinner. And I'm looking forward to a gift under the tree. We put a tree up. The star's a little fucked up. You know, the one part that I was supposed to do ain't really work out right. But I'm going to try to see if I can repair it. I'm trying to see if I can do something with it. But man, I guess that's where I'm at. Let's see. I learned some important lessons this week. One of the things, I think I'm coming like the king of cliches. Like, you do this this recovery stuff and you go to meetings, like everybody's got like a phrase or a little saying that they use to try to explain something to you. So it's like I got a head full of cliches at this point. Like, I got, you call me with a problem, I'm gonna hit you with, you know, some shit that's probably gonna get on your nerves. It's gonna be one of those, man, you know, like, if you don't do what's right, you get what's left. Like, these are the type of shit that I'm getting, like, on a daily basis. So one of them that taught me a lesson this week is that expectations are resentments waiting to happen. And for an addict or alcoholic, whatever your thing is, like, resentment and disappointment is are dangerous things. I think they're normal, you know, for most people, but for addicts, like, setting yourself up to be disappointed or setting yourself up for resentment is a dangerous undertaking. And so, you know, one of the early lessons that I'm getting in terms of my triggers and in terms of things to help me maintain my sobriety is to manage my expectations and to not have to try not to have expectations on other people's actions or what somebody else might do, and learn to accept situations rather than try to control them, rather than go into the situation feeling like if I do this, this will happen. You got to go into the situation saying this is the right thing for me to do, this is what I'm going to do, and whatever the outcome be, you know, I will be able to accept it. You know, we say the serenity prayer all the time, which is, you know, that God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And so as many times as I've said that in the last month, I don't think it's sunk in. And, you know, that brings me to an important point. I'm glad I said in the last month. I am celebrating my first 30 days. So, you know, I feel like this, you know, this is not the first time I've done 30 days. But this, to me, is a bigger deal because this is the first time I've done 30 days with a clear-cut plan of how to maintain it for the rest of my life, you know. In the past, it's been another cliche I learned, the white knuckle technique, where you just like, I'm going to sit on my hands and I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And I've been able to maintain for like a year on that pure willpower kind of thing. So when people say, you know, just don't do it, you know, you're just weak, you know, just make the right decision. Like, I'm capable of that for, you know, an extended period of time. But eventually willpower is going to fail you. You got to have something else in place to help you keep going. So, and I'm learning that. So, but back to the expectations and resentment. I had a couple of situations this week where I think I went into them with expectations. And then when those expectations were not met, you know, I got angry or sad or disappointed. Maybe even had some resentment toward the people involved in the situations. I finished all of my community service, which I was really proud of. It was a big deal for me. Like, you know, I set out with a goal. You know, I saw where my hours were, and I planned out, like, you know, if I do 4 hours this day, 4 hours this day, you know, blah blah blah, I can knock this out before the end of the year. I wanted to knock it out before my next probation appointment, which actually happened on the 19th, on a Tuesday of this week. So, you know, I put my plan in motion and I buckled down, you know, with all of the meetings and the treatment programs I've been going to. Like, you know, I just been ripping and running, and time has been a commodity I don't have a lot of. But I was determined, you know, to get these hours done, regardless of how tired I was, regardless of what other, you know, commitments I had in line, you know, as long as I didn't have to put off my family for any reason. You know, I was going to spend the rest of my time, you know, doing things toward continuing this process and getting these community service hours done. So I did it. You know, I was able to get them all done before Tuesday. I think I finished up Sunday. Sunday I did my last 4 hour stretch, and felt good. But, you know, immediately I went into expectation mode. I went into, I'm going in, I'm going to tell my, you know, my PO that I got these hours done. She's going to be excited and happy for me. And, you know, and it may be, you know, she'll be lenient with certain things. Maybe they'll allow me to get the interlock off. Maybe I won't have to keep coming to these probation appointments. Maybe I'll just be able to call in. I had all these expectations for how that meeting was going to go. And I felt so proud of my accomplishment and just believe that everybody else should be proud of my accomplishment too. And in a, you know, in hindsight, it's not an accomplishment. I finally did the thing I was supposed to be doing all along. So it wasn't an accomplishment, but that's the way I kind of walked in there. And then of course it didn't go that way. It almost went the exact opposite way. You know, probably more realistic. You know, instead of, you know, being proud and be, you know, her being proud of me and being rewarded, it was sort of like, you know, finally, nigga, like you finally did what you knew you had to do all this time, you know. And all right, so here's what's gonna happen next, you know. So that's pretty much how it went. And that was a rough day for me. But the cool thing about it was that by the end of the day, after, you know, analyzing it all and talking it out, I talk to my wife all the time, like on I Am at Work. So I'm on I Am at Work and just like telling the story and talking it out, you know, I could see where I went wrong. You know, with everything that I've been learning recently, I could see, you know, I walked in there with the wrong attitude. I walked in there, you know, expecting a certain outcome because of what I had done, instead of just, you know, being happy with myself for what I had done. And that being enough, I needed some sort of external response, you know, to validate. And then when I didn't get that, I allowed it to take me someplace that I shouldn't be, you know, so take me to a place that's normally a trigger for me doing the things I'm not supposed to do. So I didn't, and then I got proud of myself for making that realization. So by the end of the day, I had gone from, you know, proud to disappointment and resentment, you know, and then resentment, and then back to like proud again. And then, you know, I went to my meeting that night, and oh, that's the other like bright spot of my week. My wife came to so Tuesday nights at my treatment program is family night. Last week I had the homie, my brother Rich, come out with me. So, you know, shout out to Rich if anybody's been wondering, you know, where we are, because I don't think we've done an episode together in quite some time. But, you know, that's still my bro, that's my homie, that's my business partner. And he definitely came out to support me, came out to a session last week. And then this week, my wife agreed to come out, and she came and sat in on the session. And I've got to thank, you know, everybody there. I'm sure they don't listen to this podcast, they'll never hear this, but like I've been like just preaching this whole like sense of community and how if you reach out for help, they are just, you know, more people than you could ever count, you know, ready to reach back and embrace you and accept you. And you know, Tuesday night they definitely showed that. They were very accepting of me, and, you know, extremely accepting and welcoming of my wife. And you know, she was getting just hugs and words of encouragement all over the place, and I was even taken back. As much as I've experienced with, you know, these people and these recovery efforts and their ability to, you know, embrace everyone, I was still surprised and almost overwhelmed by their reaction to my wife being there. So it was amazing. I wrote as a part of my treatment, I had to write out a goodbye letter to alcohol, and so that was a really cathartic process. I was able to get out some things and talk about, you know, the effects that it's had on my life. And I thought about reading it on the show, and I'm like, nah. I think what I'll do instead is probably post it on the website somewhere. And, you know, and if you want to, you can go and read it. I'm definitely not shy about any of this. And, you know, I'm starting to realize, you know, how important almost this show and this side of my recovery is. One of the things we talked about was having a base of people to be accountable to. And, you know, I was talking to my wife, because this is not the first time she's been through this, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better, I'm going to fix it, I'm going to get myself right. And what I was saying to her, you know, is the difference this time around is, one, I'm reaching outside of myself for help. I'm not trying to do this on my own. I actually have a plan. This isn't just, you know, I ain't going to drink no more, and that's the whole plan. Step one, don't drink. Step two, continue not to drink. Like, that was my whole plan in the past. Now I have, you know, a much more clearly defined plan. That's not my plan. It came, you know, from people who've done it and seen it work and know it can work. So I feel a lot more encouraged with that thought. And then also, I'm spreading my base of accountability. You know, in the past, I've kind of, you know, maybe said to her, yeah, I think I have a problem. And then I go like a year without drinking, and then I say to myself, dude, alcoholic can't go a year without drinking. Dude, you're not alcoholic, you know. And then you got friends around you that be like, nah, you don't really have a problem, dog. You know, you just blah, 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 you know. And then, you know, that would feed into it. And I, you know, I kind of like, I can be, you know, like a regular, but I can drink like a gentleman. You know, I can have a beer here, a beer there, maybe a shot or two. You know, and then it was just slippery slope. I'm back where I started. So this time, being this open about it, you know, I'm making everybody aware of where I am. Like, I, you know, I've publicly now, you know, labeled myself as an alcoholic. So I can't do this show and then go back a month, and then a month later come on here and be like, nah, you know what, all that shit I was saying a month ago, nah, I don't really have a problem, I'm back, you know, somebody pull me a drink. Like, nah, I can't do that now. Like, I feel like I have all of you to be accountable to as well. I have my wife, I have my daughter, I have my counselors and my, you know, and my classmates in treatment. And now I feel like I have all of you, whoever you may be. I feel like it's the whole world. So, you know, I feel like anywhere I go, there could be somebody who, you know, who knows, you know, the real situation. And and then therefore I got to be accountable to you people as well. So I say this is therapy for me. If you're going through something similar, I just, you know, I encourage you to have people around you you can talk to it about and talk about it too. Damn, fuck that all the way up. All right, have people around you can talk about it too, and that you can be accountable to, because you need that. You know, the willpower thing is just, it's just not gonna work. And it can work for a long period of time, but willpower, you eventually gonna break down. And it's one of those, and this is one of those things that's just unfortunate, that like, you can make the right decision 364 days of the year and make the wrong decision one day, and that can tear down all the progress that you made. You can fall right back to where you were by making the wrong decision once. So, you know, I kind of feel like I have to rely on something more than just my inner willpower. I'm gonna need people around me that when I get weak, you know, hey, Flan, like, nah, we're not going there. I know, I can see it in you. I can see you getting ready to break. I got you for right now. We're not going there. So, yeah, it's important. It's important to be open about it for me. I tell you, I mean, and I'm like meeting, and it's so crazy because this is something that affects so many people. And if you go places and you talk about it, you're going to find someone going through the same thing that you're going through all the time. I'm meeting Uber drivers. I'm just meeting everybody by, you know, they pick me up. You know, so I'm going on all kinds of tangents, but, you know, fuck it though. This is not one that I like planned out. It's holiday time. I just decided to record it while my daughter's asleep. So I'm rambling. But just to Uber drivers, like, I think I said before about if I send it back, I mean, I don't want to talk, you know, just drive. Let's be cool. But then also, like, notice when somebody is not necessarily trying to tell you all their business. Like, they pick me up from these places, and I'm gonna tell you, these meetings be in some strange motherfucking places. Like, there ain't much you could be over there doing. Like, these are not like, you know, bustling business districts and shit like that. Like, it ain't a whole lot of stuff you could be coming out of this building having done. And they were picking me up, like, oh, you know, what, you getting off work? It's 9:30. Like, you know, I look like the dude that have a job and I don't get off work till 9:30. But I probably wouldn't be working here. And I'm like, nah, you know, just coming from a class. Oh, what kind of class? Nigga, like, all I did was call a car to drive me home. I didn't call somebody so I could discuss what I just learned in class with. I'm just trying to get home, and it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. I just want to go home. What kind of class? I'll even go as far as to say rehab. Oh, what kind of motherfuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I was going to give you all that information when you asked me, you know, was I getting off work? I'd be like, nah, I'm just coming out of an AA meeting. But no, that's not what I said. I said, I'm coming out of the class. And then when you asked me what kind of class it was, I say rehab. You know what I'm saying? If I wanted you to have all the information, I just give you all the information. Like, if you got to dig for it, then I don't want to talk about it. Like, leave me the fuck alone. All right. I digress. I forget what I was talking about now. I had another situation with expectations. And it led me back to, like, a cliche or something that was said to me as a teenager that has, like, stuck with me my whole life. And I'm really starting to find the importance of it. I think I've mentioned it a shit ton of times on this show. If you sit with me for any extended period of time, I'm probably going to say something about it. But I had a situation at work where somebody did something. And you know, I have sort of an inferiority complex. It's, I don't even want to call it an inferiority complex because it's weird. Because I enter situations feeling inferior, feeling like I have to prove myself. And then not shortly thereafter, after I've proven myself one or two times, then I probably have delusions of grandeur. Then I jump from I'm below everybody to I'm way above everybody. Fuck you niggas. like, and so it's weird. So, you know, I came into this situation at work with that, you know, in that inferior position. Like the person said something, I felt like it was wrong. Didn't want to correct them in public in front of other people, so I approached them later and was trying to, like, lead them to the answer without saying, you're wrong, this is what's right. I was like, well, you know, I saw this and this doesn't quite look like what you said. What do you think about this? Like, I'm trying to, like, lead them to discover their mistake without telling them outright they made a mistake. And the more they kept, like, pushing back on that, like, the more they weren't going where I wanted them to go and seeing what I was trying to get them to see. And I knew this was not like, I think you're wrong. It's like, I know you're wrong. Like, I have enough experience in this field that I know what you said was incorrect. And I'm trying to get you to see that in the nicest way possible, like, without seeming like I'm smarter than you. And it just wasn't going. They just weren't seeing it. They actually even started, like, coming back at me, trying to, like, teach me things that I already knew. And it was just annoying the fuck out of me. And I was, that resentment was coming through. It's like, you know, and then once again, I realized, like, I came into the situation expecting a certain thing out of a person. I'm expecting them to know a certain thing. I'm expecting them to be able to read between the lines. I'm expecting them to be able to hear what I'm not saying. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, like, I wanted them to not just hear what I was saying, but, like, pick up what I'm not saying. And when that didn't happen, I got upset. And that brought me back, you know, to the thing I told you I was told as a teenager, was that my problem is I don't think I'm smart. I think everybody else is stupid. And I think that was one of those moments where instead of me looking at what happened as, you know, that I have an ability to read this situation a different way than he does. And instead of seeing it that way, I saw it as the situation is black and white. It's plain and simple. Why don't you see it that way? Like, I'm upset for you. I'm upset with him, you know, for not seeing what I think is blatantly obvious, rather than accepting the fact that what I see as blatantly obvious is because I have an ability to see it a way that he can't see it, and that I need to, you know, try to inform. And maybe I needed to be more direct with the, hey, dude, you know, this is what I know, and what you said goes against everything I know, and here's the evidence to support that. But that stance to me feels cocky, and I don't like having that stance. I don't like entering a situation believing I know more than you. And I struggle with that in a lot of situations, because I'm around people in the field in IT. You're around people all the time who believe they know more than you. And they just have that confidence and that swagger about them that gets other people to believe it too. Like, if you say something with enough conviction, even people that know better will be like, maybe I didn't, that don't sound right, but he said that shit like it's in the Bible. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can really, if you have enough confidence in what you're saying, you can just sway people who know better. who make them doubt themselves? And it's like, I don't. So being around so many people that are like that, who say stuff that's like so far from correct, but say it with enough gumption that, you know, that people who don't know any better have to believe it's true, and people who do know better start to question what they know to be correct. And so that, you know, that prevents me. I never want to be that person. I never want to be that person that's just out there blatantly wrong, but, you know, sounds like they believe it. That's how I guess I go to the complete other extreme, which leads me. So I got to find a way to balance that. That'll be something for me to work on. And that whole, you know, inferiority complex and trying to stay to myself. My homework from treatment has been, you know, for the next meeting that I go to stand at the door, get there early, stand at the door, and greet everybody that comes in the room. Like, just break myself out of that. You know, I got to stand over here in this corner. You know, I only got 30 days. You got 15 years. You know, who am I to say anything to you? Kind of attitude. So I'm working on that. You know, it takes a lot for me to do this show, because to me, to get on here and say these things is almost me saying I have information that you don't have and you could benefit from it. And I don't like feeling that way. But I do think, you know, that there's somebody out there that maybe could benefit from me just telling my story. So, yeah, man, this is shit I'm going with. That's shit I'm going through. But I will say this, doing this show has allowed me to, you know, fall back in love with music again. Spending time every week trying to think of a different song to chop up for the intro and background music I want to play. So that was Crime and Medicine by Mos Def. In the beginning, Yasin Bey. I love that track. That's my shit right there. And then, you know, I'm sure y'all recognize the Elevators Outkast instrumental playing right now. Man. I don't know. I think that's about it. Y'all pray for me. I'm playing for 3 championships this weekend. I'm telling you, man, I win 3 out of 5. I'm a legend. I win 4 out of 5. I'm a fucking fantasy football god. But if I could just put that energy and that focus toward something else, I could be a billionaire, though. I could fucking billionaire. You hear me? But yeah, I got 3 shannon, and then, you know, and I get like really into it. So by Monday, by Tuesday, I'm either gonna be, you know, through the roof with confidence and happiness, or I'm gonna be I don't even want to think about that. I'm gonna be someplace I don't want to be. So here we go again. Here we see, here we talking it out, talking through it. Expectations. That's where I am again. If I go into this weekend with expectations about really something I absolutely cannot control, I got no control over what guys, you know, in another state do on a football field. I have no control over the way the ball bounces or the random shit that can happen during these games. And for me to put so much of my expectation on an outcome that I really don't have any control over, and then, you know, almost be preparing myself for the disappointment and resentment, is just the wrong thing to do. It's gonna take me down, take me to that place I don't need to go. What I need to say is that what I've done so far has been quite an accomplishment. I think I am pretty good at making these decisions and building these teams, and that's dope. I take pride in it. But losing, you know, it's something that you have to accept when you play a game. And losing don't mean I didn't put together a vicious ass season. It just mean the ball didn't bounce the right way for me one day. That's all it is. Woosa. Alright, so I hear my daughter waking up. I gotta go. As always, I appreciate y'all listening to me. I appreciate y'all, you know, riding with me on this journey. Until we speak again, be the light and be safe. Alright, peace.